the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, coming up next month is the annual sign-up period for Medicare that usually lasts from mid-October to mid-December. If you're turning 65 this year, you could be eligible for Medicare, and especially if you've left work. And what about if you are still working and covered under a medical program with your company? Well, let's find out what the rules are. Joining me on the program is Brian MacArthur from Bridlewood Insurance. And Brian, why don't we begin with some of the basics? The sign-up period is next month, so tell us a little bit about the particulars and what our listeners should be knowing if they're turning 65 this year.
So for those of you who are already on Medicare, you may have gotten used to the fact that every fall starts the annual enrollment period. It runs from October 15 to December 7. And anybody who's on Medicare and either has had some limitations or missed expectations with their current Medicare plan, or perhaps their life has changed, or when I say life, Jim, I mean probably their health or maybe list of medications have changed. This is a time of the year where everybody can review their plan and make a change for the following year. So that runs October 15 to December 7.
Let's talk about a situation. So, Brian, what if I am 65, I'm eligible for Medicare, but let's say I'm working at a company. Let's say I'm working at, let's pick a big employer here, Sony. I'm working at Sony, and under Sony, I've got medical coverage. Do I need to do anything?
Great question. Almost always the answer is no or something close to no. That being said, I make it a habit of reaching out to people at age 64, whether they are chomping at the bit to jump onto Medicare at age 65, because Medicare is usually good to great news for most people. However, even if that person is, coming up on age 65, Jim, and they are happily working at Sony, they still like to have a real human being walk them through what Medicare is not, what they do and do not have to do by when. To give a mostly accurate answer on the question you asked, somebody who's working at Sony probably has pretty decent health insurance. Medicare would probably be better in most cases, but if the person's not complaining, we don't want to jam square pegs in round holes. Additionally, the real cost of being on Medicare is way less than really any other type of insurance. Now, that what I'm driving at is that Medicare is usually better and less expensive than any other insurance that the rest of us have, but the happily employed 65-year-old at Sony does not pay the full cost of their health insurance. Of course, they usually pay, $200, $300, maybe $400 a month out of their paycheck. But, the real cost for a 64-year-old to be on Sony's plan, Jim, might be, $1,200 or $1,300. So there are other things that go into it where, generally speaking, I always go through the analysis. More times than not, I just suggest staying on the employer plan until that person's ready to retire and then doing a full enrollment starting about 90 days prior to them retiring. The one thing I would add is that the rules of Medicare suggest that even if you're going to stay on the employer plan, you're supposed to enroll in Medicare Part A at age 65. So is that true? Yes. That being said, Jim, Medicare Part A, whether you enroll at 65 or several years later when you retire, it's really the only part of Medicare, Jim, that there is no late enrollment penalty for. It really doesn't matter whether you do it at age 65 or not. Part A costs people nothing. It doesn't do a whole lot for people. The only time Part A would kick in would be if you were, working at Sony, you're hospitalized. Of course, you have your health insurance from Sony. But before your health insurance plan from Sony paid the hospital bill, literally the cost of being in the bed, Jim, they would say, hey, this person has Medicare Part A. Let's dump the bill on Medicare Part A, see how much they pay, and we'll pay the rest. So it doesn't cost a client anything, doesn't do a whole lot for them, might save the employer a little bit of money in the event of a hospitalization. Usually what I say, Jim, is that, look, it doesn't cost you anything and it protects your employer's interests. And really, the big advantage, Jim, of enrolling in Part A at age 65, even if you're going to keep on working, is just to avoid a situation, Jim, where you feel like you could be accused of doing nothing at age 65. And it's amazing how powerful that incentive is, where I joke around with people and say, look, my biggest fear is if we don't enroll you in Part A, you're at a barbecue with your wife 2 summers from now, and somebody says, Jim, you didn't enroll in Part A, and they scare the stuffing out of you. Your weekend's ruined because it's a Friday night. You can't get a hold of me until Monday to remind you it's okay. It really would be okay. But most people, we enroll in Part A, they stay on the employer benefits. The only reason not to enroll in Part A that I can really think of, Jim, is if you have employer health insurance, Jim, would be if you're actively contributing to a health savings account.
Let's take another situation. Let's say you are now 65. You're not employed. Let's say you retired. Let's talk about the rules regarding that if you do not enroll in Part B of Medicare, because there's a penalty.
Right, there is. And boy, I meet everybody at age 64, Jim, because it's 1 year before they're age 65. And the whole Medicare industry knows that 64-year-olds are, you know, about to have to make decisions. Someone in that situation, Jim, who is age 64, about to turn 65 without employer-sponsored health insurance, is usually chomping at the bit to enroll in Medicare, because Medicare will be way better and way less expensive in almost every case than whatever they're doing for health insurance at age 64. But yes, there are late enrollment penalties. The Medicare industry, Jim, does a unfortunately terrific job of scaring the stuffing out of people. All the mail they get at 64 is talking about deadlines, penalties, consequences. Those penalties and consequences do exist. I would put them more in the category of possible rather than probable. It's not impossible, but it's very rare that people usually catch wind that Medicare is usually an improvement over their health insurance. So I don't find a whole lot of people exposed to late enrollment penalties, but the existence of them certainly increases people's level of awareness to make the right decisions by the correct deadlines.
So given that, let's take a situation. So now you're enrolling in Medicare. There's Medicare with regular Medicare where you get, you know, Part B, you can get Part D, which covers drugs, and then you cover or get a Medigap insurance policy to cover the portion that Medicare doesn't cover. Because one thing I want you to address is people think, oh, I get on Medicare, they cover everything. No, that's not the case. And then, Brian, would you contrast regular Medicare with Medicare Advantage?
Certainly. So I'm going to take some creative liberties in how I explain this, because I cannot resist the temptation to alphabetize, Jim. So I would think of a full Medicare package as checking 4 boxes. Think of it as Part A, B, C, and D. Those are really the 4 parts of Medicare. I'll explain where I'm taking creative license in a moment. But as we think of A, B, C, and D, I would chop it in half. Parts A and B come from the government, and parts C and D come from insurance companies. Once somebody's ready for a full Medicare enrollment, they enroll in parts A and B, which basically is the government saying, hey, Jim, we're going to pay 80% of your medical bills and 0% of your medication. So the government does get you quite far down the road. There is a cost for that. It's not free, but it's a very good deal by most people's standards. As you think of Part C and D, there's a fork in the road. Now, I'm going to call both options C and D, even though one is and one is not. But whichever path you take, you will check the Part C box and the Part D box. Whatever you do for Part C will be an insurance company stepping in to offer to pay the remaining 20% of your medical bills. And anytime you hear Part D, just think D is for drugs. So think of Part C as a 20%, Part D as drugs. What are those two roads? One is called a Medicare supplement plan, which is a synonym for Medigap. And one is called a Medicare Advantage plan. Now, Medicare supplement is not technically called Part C, but again, I just find it easier to frame it as an A, B, C, and D. So Medicare supplement, Jim, by and large, will look and feel like the sexiest PPO plan imaginable. And depending on your market, just to frame it as the opposite bookend, Medicare Advantage is often, but not always, kind of like the sexiest HMO plant imaginable. They are both the very best versions of those two types of plants. There are some PPO options on the Medicare Advantage side, but to set two bookends, I would think of it as Medicare supplement is a magnificent PPO, and Medicare Advantage is often, but not only, a magnificent HMO.
Let's talk about Medigap insurance. There's, you know, there's an alphabet soup of different letters on what these programs cover. We used to have F. That's no longer available. Let's talk about some of the other ones like G and some of the other letters of insurance and what they cover and what they don't.
Certainly. So before I get into that, I do like to lay out what life will look like on a Medicare supplement plan, regardless of what plan level you choose. With Medicare, a Medicare supplement plan, you still have original Medicare, and then you have the insurance company covering the other 20%. So with a Medicare supplement plan, generally speaking, I explain to people you can keep all the doctors that you know and love. And if you needed a second opinion, Jim, in a different medical group in town or somewhere across the county or even across a state line, you can go anywhere you want without a referral. As long as that doctor accepts original Medicare, which functionally, Jim, 99% of doctors in the country do, you can go see them without a referral. So far, that probably sounds like a PPO, and it feels like a PPO. A Medicare supplement is actually even better than what most of us know to be a PPO in one particular way. A real PPO, Jim, will let you go anywhere you want without a referral, but you will pay lower copays to stay in network, higher copays to go out of network. You know, 20 years ago, Jim, it cost a little bit more to go out of network with a PPO. These days, it costs a lot more. So even those of us who have PPOs, try not to go out of network. A Medicare supplement plan is even better than what we know to be a PPO in that there are no networks. So there is no cost difference to see any of those 99% of doctors in the entire country who accept original Medicare. So if your life depends on it, you literally could go to the best left toe orthopedist in Albuquerque if you thought that was the best doctor for you. There would not be any difference in cost. So life will, that's the way life will look like on any Medicare supplement plan. To answer your question specifically, the top version of a Medicare supplement plan, hardly the only option, but I just like to set this as again as a bookend, is called Plan G. Every insurance company has a Plan G. I like to call it Plan Great just to get away from the letters for a moment because there are so many letters in Medicare. And every insurance company has a Plan G as their top option. So what does life look like on Plan G or Plan Great? Well, again, keep all your doctors, no referrals, no networks, state lines don't matter. We covered that. Someone on Plan Great would have a $203 annual deductible. Basically, Jim, the first $203 bill they generate at the doctor's office every year is on them. They'll get a bill for that. Once they pay that $203 deductible, almost all the time that client will go the rest of the year every year without ever seeing a doctor bill and or hospital bill as for Medicare allowable expenses, which is Medicare doesn't really limit a whole lot, which is great. So without listeners having to be a health insurance expert, I'm sure they could deduce that if you can go see any doctor in the country without a referral, pay $203 once a year, and then unless a doctor charges for parking, you could, you know, almost always show up without your wallet. That's about as good as health insurance could get in 2021. So that would be, shall we say, as good as it gets and as expensive as it gets, but it's not the only option.
What about Medicare Advantage and HMO? I have a friend that is turning 65. He's looking at an HMO like here. It would be Kaiser. And under the Medicare Advantage program, they cover dental, they cover eyes, they cover hearing, they cover other stuff that typically you don't see in Medicare. Contrast the two, and can you go back and forth each year? Like one year, let's just say you want to try Medicare Advantage. You try it, and you turned out you don't like being with just an HMO using their doctors only and facilities. You want to go back to a PPO plan. Can you do that?
Great questions. And before I go into that, I should list that for folks who choose a Medicare supplement plan, let's just use Plan G or Plan Great, which is what I just finished describing. It depends on the area of the country. But at age 65, most of the time, a Medicare supplement Plan G will run anywhere from, I don't know, $130 to $180 a month. And then people would also need a Part D drug plan, which usually runs about $20 to $30. So there is a monthly premium for Medicare supplement with Plan G or Plan Great. And that's worth mentioning before I answer your next question. So what is the difference between Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage? Well, to summarize Medicare supplement, you do pay a monthly premium. You know, it could be, again, you know, $150 plus $30 a month. I'm just picking broad numbers to go see any doctor in the country without a referral and barely see bills, right? That's the Medicare supplement experience. Medicare Advantage plans often have way lower monthly premiums, and it's not uncommon for them to have no monthly premium. Now, no monthly premium with a Medicare Advantage plan does not mean it's crummy coverage. It's actually magnificent coverage. Of course, Jim, we live in a world not of utopia, but trade-offs. The trade-off with Medicare Advantage, if a client found this to be a trade-off, and many do not, is that they're always network-based plans. In most major metropolitan areas across the country, there are big HMO presences. And gradually, there's starting to be more PPO presences there. So no monthly premium for Medicare Advantage. Let's just say it's an HMO. There might also be PPO options, but there's certainly HMO options in every major metropolitan area. No monthly premium. Your primary doctor is basically your quarterback, Jim. He or she has to refer you to specialists in order for you to see a specialist. They will always refer you to a specialist in their panel of specialists or medical group. So just using San Diego as an example, you know, being limited to one medical group in San Diego, Jim, be it, you know, Sharp or UCSD or Scripps Clinic, is probably not very limiting because we've got gigantic medical groups and wonderful health care in our county, which is similar to many major metropolitan areas. But I do want to be clear, you know, you're not bouncing over to Albuquerque on a whim for a second opinion anymore. So your primary doctor is your quarterback. They're sending you to their specialist. There's usually a copay for almost everything, Jim. The copays are not measurable. They're probably similar and oftentimes less than what somebody was used to paying on their employer plan. So I never villainize either option. You know, you can pay a monthly premium and go anywhere you want without a referral and almost never see bills, or you can pay no monthly premium and still have wonderful coverage. You just have to deal with, you know, the network framework of an HMO or a PPO. To answer one of your other questions, and I know it seems kind of crazy, Jim, but, you know, for people who want dental and vision with a Medicare supplement plan, most of the time they'll have to pay an extra, you know, fee or buy an extra policy or pay for an extra rider to do that, to duplicate what they were used to at work for dental and vision. On a Medicare Advantage plan, so back to the one with no monthly premium, those plans often throw in enough of a vision benefit that most people should probably resist the temptation to pay extra for vision insurance. The vision insurance that's wrapped into a Medicare Advantage plan, although the insurance company is not required to offer it, a lot of them do, is good enough that I don't think people need to, you know, pay for vision. And some plans, Jim, also add in some sort of dental benefit. In some cases, there might not be a dental benefit. Other cases, there might be a dental benefit that is, you know, certainly better than nothing, probably not as good as what they were used to before. But again, it's included in a policy that costs you zero. And, you know, these days, I will say that the big differentiator with Medicare Advantage plans is some of the plans are really starting to offer some very measurable dental benefits embedded into these wonderful HMO and PPO Medicare Advantage plans with no monthly premium that are, you know, in some cases as good as the last type of dental insurance somebody had, and in other cases, even better.
What you're basically saying, you have a lot of options. In many cases, you're going to be better off. It's certainly in many cases, in most cases, it'll be cheaper. But whether you're working or you're not working, the best thing you could do is at age 64, a year before you turn 65, find out what your options are, what you're looking at, and come to a comfortable choice that fits you and your spouse or just yourself.
I think that's great advice. You know, starting at age 63, the Medicare conversation usually falls on deaf ears for most people. 64 and approaching 65 is when for all these reasons, the volume of mail that 64-year-olds get, and of course, knowing, you know, having friends and family who've turned 65, they kind of know that that's the time they need to figure this out. I'd like to point out Medicare is usually good news to great news for virtually everybody. It's just important to know, you know, what it is, what it isn't, how it compares to what you have now, and what you do and don't have to do by age 65. And a lot of people in the Medicare industry use a lot of, you know, fear-based tactics, and that kind of drives me nuts. I find the Medicare discussions to be usually very positive news. So it's nice to be able to meet someone at 64 and just give them the gentle introduction and help them understand that, hey, is this going to be good news, you know, at age 65 or good news later? But it's really typically good news regardless.
All right. Well, listen, Brian, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about your services, you have a website. It's called designmymedicare.com. And tell listeners what they may find there.
Yeah. So if you go to designmymedicare.com, you'll see my my website. Almost pretty much everybody who I deal with to guide them through Medicare are typically clients or listeners of, you know, full service financial planning firms like yours, Jim, at a Financial Sense. So it's very important to me, you know, that any interaction somebody has with me is reflecting positively on the full service financial advice firm that guided them to me. I am half joking and half serious when I explain to people that, you know, especially from your desk, Jim, and your team's desk is not a darn thing with a dollar sign that you cannot help a client with. The only thing you don't help them with directly and wouldn't if you could, for reasons that we now all understand, is Medicare. So, you know, I really try to keep this as being a positively viewed additive experience to the overall financial planning process of the financial advisor partners who lean on me to guide their clients through Medicare at the height of their confusion. So,
all right. Well, you can contact Brian at brian@designmymedicare.com. Go to the website, designmymedicare.com. Brian, thanks so much for joining us and keeping our listeners up to date.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jim.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.